From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 25th day of February 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the Secretary has proposed a new budget for the Department of Agriculture. USDA will meet with state officials next month to outline a strategy for traceability in animal agriculture. And a spot check of corn coming into elevators in the Midwest suggests it's in better condition than most had suspected. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby corn down 3 cents, nearby wheat down a dime, and soybeans were down 14 cents. Settlement prices like this, July contract at 516 and a quarter, and the wheat 10 cents lower. The September at 531 and a quarter, down 10 and one quarter. And December futures at 555 and a quarter, down 9 and three quarters. March contract at 579 and three quarters, a dime lower. The May contract at 591 and three quarters, down 9 and one quarter. And the July of 2011, down 9 and a quarter at 604 and one quarter. From the corn pit, nearby March contract, 372 and a quarter, down 3 cents for the day. The May at 383 and a quarter, down 3. July, 393 and a half, 3 and a quarter lower. September at $4 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter. December corn at 406 and three quarters, down 2 and three quarters. March beans at 941 and a half, 14 cents the loss. May at 950, down 13. July at 957 and a half, down 13. August at 954, down 12. 940 the settlement for the September, 9 cents lower. November at 929 and one half, down 5 and one quarter. March bean meal futures at 272.10, down $4.80. March bean oil at 38.53, down 52. CME Group livestock February contract 91.90, and the live cattle up 12 and a half cents at 91.90, and the April lean hogs at 72.12 and a half, a dollar 77 and a half higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. April crude oil futures at $78.06, down $1.94 for the day. March ethanol at $1.70 and a half, that's 0.8 cents lower. Natural gas at $4.77 and a tenth, down 8 and 8 tenths of a cent. The RBOB off 6 cents today. A settlement price at $2.03 and 8 tenths. And the heating oil at $1.98 and 5 tenths. That's diesel fuel. It's just about 5 and 7 tenths lower at this hour. Gold futures at $1,107.80 an ounce, up $11.30. And the Dow now at 10,277 is just about 97 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 80.79 is down 0.05 for the day. And the CRB index on the afternoon is currently trading at 270.87. That is down 3.87 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Mike Solom. He says tonight in Illinois and the far southwestern parts of Indiana should be clear to partly cloudy. Elsewhere in Indiana, cloudy with some scattered snow showers, a few flurries. Lows will range, says Mike, from 5 in northwestern Illinois to 22 in the far south. And then tomorrow in Illinois and southwestern Indiana, mostly sunny skies. In northern and eastern Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered snow showers, some flurries. Highs will range from 26 in northern Illinois to 44 in the far south. The extended forecast says scattered snow showers and flurries will continue across much of Indiana through tomorrow, while mostly sunny weather is expected across Illinois. Clouds and flurries will be back in eastern Illinois from the east to the west on this coming weekend. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. From ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, Dan Zwicker now joins us. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
It's been an interesting up and down week. Do you see this as consolidation, a bottom forming, top forming, what kinds of things?
Well, let's say in the case of corn, we'll start with corn. We'll start with the good news, I guess. I would view this as consolidation. When you take a look at the corn chart, we had that pick up on Monday. Then we had an inside down day there on Tuesday. Yesterday we reversed, went back to the upside. Actually closed higher than what we did on Monday, so it was the highest close for the week. Now today we have another inside down day. We closed about in the middle of part of the range. So when you look at the corn chart, you have to say that this is somewhat of a consolidation phase from the advance that we had on Monday. The key now is to kind of close out the week on a good solid note. If we could come back and close higher tomorrow, I think then that tees up continued strength at least into the first couple days or so of next week or the first part of the month. And then probably some of these overbought technical conditions could take hold, and then we could maybe see somewhat of a decline. But I think so far so good on the corn as far as maybe trying to reach up a little higher or do a little more retracement here of this 76-cent decline that we had off the January highs.
Yeah. Can you explain maybe a little bit about the formation? And I may or may not be reading this right, but in the lead option corn, you talked about the big up on Monday, which I suppose you might think is a staff and then a pennant that's coming out of that. Is that right or wrong?
Well, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but yeah, you could kind of maybe say that this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday price action, and maybe even what happens on Friday, could be a congestion area, which is halfway up off of the low that we had last week at 365. So just eyeballing it here, you could say maybe today was about the midpoint of that range, which would be about 83. Let's average it up to 85. And we came off of 65, so then that would say maybe 20 cents up, added to 85. You could be talking about something like, 405 or something like that, maybe potential. There's an ascending triangle formation that the widest part of that triangle is like 20 cents. You could add that to 380. That begins to talk about $4. A 50% retracement back on this May contract would be is like 397. So I think those are some of the points that the chartists are looking at, somewhere here between 395, $4 as maybe still left in this market, and we're, you know, kind of consolidating here at 83 to 85.
Okay, so that's the good news technically on the corn. Does your gut tell you that it can make those kind of moves?
I think we still have a reasonable shot at that, but I would say that it needs to kind of be done by the first part of next week. I think we need to kind of see it done by Monday, Tuesday, or otherwise I think we'll run out of upside momentum, and then the market could fail.
And then you should probably tell me about the bad news as
well. Well, I mean, unless we fall apart tomorrow, we're going to close out the week higher. We're going to close out the month higher with a monthly reversal. So I think those are all good signs that the market has at least laid down the technical foundation for a March-April type rally. Now,
right,
whether or not
corn,
we
I
get that.
I meant the bad news and possibly the beans. I assume
okay,
that's
the
what
beans. Well, probably not so good news. The beans... just appear that they're just come under so much weight, I think, of the South American crop, which, of course, depends upon who you talk to. But some of the people that I believe that's in the know tell me that that's an awfully big crop out there, and it has actually gotten bigger here over the past couple weeks or so. So that is what we're seeing in the beans. Beans kind of did their bare minimum retracement of this big decline that we had off of the January high of on the May contract here is like $1.67, 38% of the way back, which is often a key retracement level on beans, was like 985. We had a high at 985, but we never did close above there. Actually, the closest close we got to the 38% retracement was here a week ago at 975. 38% retracement was like this 974. So that has kind of turned into at least a brick wall for now. That doesn't necessarily mean that the market can't go higher, but we're going to have something new, I think, come into the picture from a fundamental point of view to fluff up the market. Weekly export sales weren't bad, but I think you're going to see a smaller number next week. It's just that everybody has shifted their focus to South America. But, you know, we only need to sell about 5 million bushels a week to meet USDA's projection. So I think, you know, we're definitely on track to meet USDA's projection on demand. The problem is that as we go forward, it's going to be hard to find good news probably out of the for the bean market to kind of rally. So far, we've had a nice little retracement rally. Now it's time to probably consolidate a little bit. And the next big event, of course, is the weather pattern for the spring months, and you know, with March up here next week, the trades are going to be keying off of any kind of weather forecast that would maybe indicate whether or not we're going to get in the field or stay out of the field or whatever, and that's going to have a direct impact on soybeans.
Yeah, on the bearishness in the beans or the bad news for the beans in the United States, and I understand the export market in China and the Brazilian crop or the South American bean crop. But here in the U.S., it appears that the end user really needs beans, at least at the moment. Is there not some salvation longer term in that for the old crop beans?
Well, the balance sheet, there is no doubt that we've done an excellent job of absorbing last year's record crop. And, of course, dependent upon you know, how demand unfolds over the next 6 months or so will depend upon what, you know, the carryout is. My guess is we're looking at a 200 million bushel carryout. But you, what you've got to look at, what the trade's looking at, is next year already. And, I mean, one of the reasons why we have a very positive balance sheet in beans this year is because the South American crop fell off the cliff in the last 30 days of the growing season last year. This year does not look to be the case. And if they do go ahead and get this crop harvested, you're going to see upwards of 400 million bushels of demand deterioration next year in the bean balance sheet. So that is what's got everybody bearish these beans. Now, I've been in the business for I don't know how many years, and I've seen a lot of these 600, 700 million bushel bean carryouts vanish over time. But we're staring at one again this year, and at the moment, the trade believes that one is attainable. But, you know, we haven't got our new crop grown, let alone planted. So, you know, there's a lot of water and go under the bridge between now and then.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report that happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
The 20th annual All-Day Agriculture Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 9th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, Sue Martin, Steve Freed, Chip Flory, Glenn Ring, Joe Versace, John Bondurant, and Ed Kieser. Avoid the long registration line by calling 800-528-7980. The cost is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail you your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 800-528-7980.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. We do urge you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all the information about that all-day ag outlook that Dave Dickey, your director of ag programming, was telling you about just a moment ago. It is on the 9th day of March. You can find all the information on our website at willag.org, along with a way to listen to today's program directly from the website. Sign up to have it delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast, or hear some of the program and some of the opening markets, too, off of our phone line. The number to call is 217-333-3434. We call that our mobile analyst portal. You can find out more information about it on the website at willag.org. Now, here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack testified before a House panel yesterday about USDA's proposed budget for 2011, which would boost USDA's overall spending to nearly $130 billion annually. Vilsack explained USDA's proposed budget, which could boost spending on child nutrition programs by $1 billion a year, while effectively freezing the department's discretionary spending, which accounts for about $21 billion a year. With a boost in mandatory spending tied to nutrition programs, the Obama administration actually proposes increasing USDA's overall budget by $10.3 billion in fiscal year 2011 to $129.6 billion. USDA plans to meet with state officials next month on the next strategy for animal identification, but members of Congress question continuing to spend money on the program and whether states will cooperate. USDA officials are asking Congress to approve $14.3 million for animal traceability that would restore USDA's animal ID funding to levels comparable to last year, before Congress cut the program's budget in half. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says right now USDA has a skeleton proposal because he wants to give states the latitude to craft a different type of program. House Agriculture Appropriations Chairman Rosa DeLauro told Vilsack that she was skeptical of the new USDA plan. A spot check with some elevator managers indicate that corn coming into county elevators recently may be slightly wetter and lighter than normal, yet overall quality is fairly decent in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Nebraska. Concerns remain about the corn that is still in storage and how quality will be affected as temperatures rise. And in Indiana, vomitoxin continues to be an issue. Indiana corn industry officials meeting in Indianapolis earlier this week agreed that there are ongoing issues with vomitoxin in some of the state's corn, although there is no way to quantify it. Indiana USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Director Greg Preston says that it's hard to say how much of the state's 934 million bushel crop is affected. There seems to be hot spots. The central and northeast seemed to be hit, but it is kind of scattered. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website, pick up that 800 number, and call in to pre-register for our all-day Agricultural Outlook meeting. It is scheduled for the 9th day of March. That's a Tuesday, the second Tuesday in the month. Runs all day long over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Details at willag.org. Up next, in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says Food Checkout Week puts the spotlight on healthy eating on a budget.
As the economic squeeze continues, many Americans remain concerned that the cost of a healthy diet is out of reach. However, according to an Agriculture Department study, the cost of eating healthy has not changed as much as some less healthy alternatives. Eating healthy food while on a budget does require smart shopping. Farm Bureau's Food Checkout Week, February 21st through the 27th, focuses on helping Americans learn how to stretch their grocery dollars with healthy, nutritious food. America's farmers are committed to producing safe, healthy, and abundant food, and they share a common concern with consumers when it comes to putting nutritious meals on the table while sticking to a tight budget. The good news, a recent United States Department of Agriculture report favorably supports the economics of healthier eating. Recent food price data shows that prices for unprepared, readily available fresh fruits and vegetables have remained stable relative to dessert and snack foods, such as chips, ice cream, and soda. Therefore, as defined by foods in the study, the price of a healthier diet has not changed compared to an unhealthy diet. Farm Bureau's Food Checkout Week is aimed at helping American consumers learn how to shop effectively to put nutritious meals on the table with fewer dollars. Learning to use your grocery dollars wisely ensures that nutrition isn't neglected. Fruits and vegetables, along with whole grains, low-fat dairy products, lean meats, fish, beans, eggs, and nuts, are an important part of a healthy diet. Buying fresh produce when it's in season and costs less while buying frozen fruits and vegetables when they're not in season is a smart way to stretch that grocery dollar. Food Checkout Week is in its 12th year, and it highlights America's safe, abundant, and affordable food supply, made possible largely by America's productive farmers. According to the most recent 2008 information from the United States Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service, American families and individuals spend an average of less than 10% of their disposable personal income for food. This is Amy Rochkus from the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number is 217-333-9697. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. I'll return in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. On the day of its 86th annual meeting, the United Way of Champaign County is a couple $100,000 shy of reaching $3 million for three straight years. And President and CEO Lynn Jones says agency heads were leery of launching a campaign with a goal of $3.1 million, but she says sizable donations continue to come in from corporate donors like Christie Clinic. Many of those groups have increased their employee matching dollars, but Joe says individuals have really stepped up as well, and that's surprising when the area's largest employer, the U of I, has started furlough days and other cuts. She says many of those employees realize the United Way's purpose of helping more vulnerable people, like the homeless and seniors needing health care. The days of free bus and train rides for all seniors in Illinois could be numbered. Illinois' House has overwhelmingly approved a measure to withdraw that perk for better-off seniors. Free rides would remain for poorer residents, and even those who would have to pay something would have to only pay half price. The bill would keep free rides for seniors whose maximum income is around $27,600 annually and $36,600 for a two-person household. Chicago's transit agencies say ending the freebies, started by former Governor Rob Blagojevich, could generate up to $37 million for their cash-strapped services. Indiana's House has passed a bill that would require deadbeat parents who hit big slot machine jackpots at casinos to give up the cash to their children. The bill, approved unanimously today, would withhold gambling winnings from parents who are behind on their child support payments. Supporters say it makes sense in a state where just over half of child support payments are collected. More than 165,000 non-custodial parents each owe more than $2,000 for back child support in more than $2 billion of delinquencies. Meanwhile, a broad bill to tighten ethics and lobbying rules has passed Indiana's Senate and appears headed soon for Governor Mitch Daniels' signature. After today's 50-0 Senate vote, the only sticking point might be whether Democratic House Speaker Patrick Bauer will push to restore so-called pay-to-play language in a House-Senate conference committee. That provision would bar vendors holding or seeking state contracts worth $100,000 or more per year from donating to the campaigns of candidates seeking state office. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Lavitt joins us to do that. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather in the Midwest to begin with.
Well, it's starting out cold. It's been very cold in the western Corn Belt states. We've had a few mornings of sub-zero readings in Iowa and single numbers farther east across Illinois. And then as the further east you go, the less cold it has been in the Midwest. But it's, except for some Great Lakes effect snow activity in northeast Illinois and down into parts of northwest Indiana, it's been dry. And the weather outlook is quite interesting here. We've got fair weather for the western Corn Belt for the next 4 or 5 days with temperatures well below normal, running maybe as much as 10 or 15 degrees below normal for a couple of days in Iowa because of the deep snow cover there enhancing colder temperatures at night. But we've got a major storm that's going to develop over New England and the northern mid-Atlantic states, and that actually is going to influence the weather back in Illinois. That storm is going to be stationary over New England right through the weekend. The impact of that storm, the circulation, is going to actually extend precipitation westward through Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, and eventually through Illinois. So some snow in northeastern Illinois may start to occur late in the weekend as a result of a storm system well to the east in the New England area. An unusual situation. We usually look to the west to see where the weather's coming from. This time it's coming from the east.
And can you give me some hope that it'll warm up quickly after that and maybe get rid of that snow?
Well, if the word is hope, not this week. We've got temperatures below normal, but we'll start to moderate toward the end of the week. And no, I was going to say, well, we'll be back towards normal the first week in March, the first and second week. But right now, I'd say it'll fluctuate from normal to somewhat below normal. I don't think we're going to see any really warm temperatures for a while yet.
How about the South American forecast for harvest there?
Well, South America this year, the Argentine, which had so much trouble for the past couple of years with drought, has had abundant precipitation, and things are looking very good there. In Brazil, they've had at least adequate precipitation, and in some areas, some excess precipitation that's been giving a little bit trouble in maintaining field conditions. But moisture is always desirable in areas which are subject to periods of drought. So they'll take it, and the good news for Brazil is that the weather is going to dry out a little bit this week, and they've got abundant moisture to have that crop go through the developmental stages.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Pete Levitt. He is an agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you can find details of our all-day ag outlook. It is our 20th annual. You can order tickets through Friday of this week at 800-528-7980. We've sold probably 270 of them already, so if you want to go, you might want to pre-register. Again, the number is 800-528-7980 for our all-day ag outlook meeting on the 9th day of March. You have a good day. I'm Todd Gleason.